It's time for three stories you should know. In May, the Supreme Court paved the way for sports betting throughout the U.S., and Pennsylvania is one state moving toward getting in on the action. But for our listeners in the Keystone State who want to bet on the local college teams, don't get too excited yet. That's where we're going to start this week. I'm joined by MLB national correspondent Will Leach, also the host of Sports Illustrated's The Will Leach Show via Skype, and by Sports Illustrated's Charlotte Wilder. Welcome back to both of you.
Hello, sir.
Thanks, Bill. Great to be here.
The president of Penn State University, Eric Barron, has written the Pennsylvania Gaming Control Board to ask the board to ban people in Pennsylvania from betting on games involving colleges in that state for at least a couple of years. President Barron suggests that the university needs to prepare athletes and coaches for the risks associated with sports gambling. He says he wants to protect our students, our student athletes, and our coaches, and preserve the integrity of our colleges and universities and their associated athletic programs. If the Gaming Control Board goes along with this request, folks who want to bet on Penn State in Pennsylvania aren't going to have that opportunity. They're going to have to go to New Jersey to place their wagers, I guess. And I'm not sure how that's going to preserve anybody's integrity or avoid any potential risks. President Barron also wrote in his letter to the Gaming Control Board that the university may want to lobby for, quote, an integrity fee, which I assume would result from a tax on gamblers. Does it seem to anybody else that President Barron is basically saying, yeah, go ahead and bet on our guys, but not until we get a cut?
Yeah, I'll say it does sound like that. And if I find it a little disturbing, by the way, that the notion that basically what he's saying is like, we need a little time for our players to get used to the fact that gambling is in the world. it's concerning, right? Like, I know that we're all in pretending like, oh, wow, well, now that this gambling thing is legal, I should look into this and find out what it's all about. Like, it's a little concerning that this was not on the agenda beforehand. I think it's clearly just a way to leverage this integrity fee. This is a big thing. Baseball's commissioner, Rob Manfred, has been a big thing about trying to be more involved into this process. They're open to it, but as long as they kind of get their vig, and I think Penn State is actually trying to be a part of that now as well.
Charlotte, is this your take on the matter as well?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of like, have you guys heard of the internet? You know, like you
I'm told gambling goes on there. I'm not shocked.
Right. I think that it's also just another level of kind of gross when you think about college athletics and the NCAA in general, where these athletes are not getting paid. They're giving, in some cases, a lot of their lives and their brains, if you play football, to this sport and to a university, and most of them aren't going to go pro. Most of them aren't going to make money on it.
Right.
And then you have the college saying, well, yeah, sure, you can bet on this, but give us a second to just make even more money off of our players. There are all these levels of kind of ugh, that go along with it. And I think this is one more example of that.
I guess the only redeeming possibility here is having asked for 2 years, a sort of moratorium on gambling in state on Pennsylvania teams, maybe they need 2 years to figure out how much to pay the players to make them a little less susceptible to bribes when the time comes for people to bet in the actual stadium when Penn State games are going on. I don't know.
Dream on, yeah. Bill.
Dream on.
Yeah, that sounds like the plan. Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
Charlotte, what's on your mind?
So it's the World Cup, which makes the doldrums of summer sports a little bit more exciting. No offense to baseball. Sorry, Will. One thing that I've noticed that has brought me some joy is the amount of own goals that have been scored so far. Morocco lost to Iran on a devastating own goal, and then Mexico scored one against Sweden. Well, scored on themselves against Sweden. And I feel like it is truly the most relatable play in all of sports, because how many of us haven't totally just messed up and it's been completely our fault, and you just have to look at the people in your life and be like, yeah, man, I scored on myself. When athletes who are so good at what they do, who are mentally tough, and then every once in a while they just massively mess up, it sort of gives me hope that maybe we're not all quite as far behind as we might think we are.
I get it. I tell you, there have been many times in my life. I don't have any tattoos, Bill, because, you know, the body is a temple. But if I did have any tattoos, own goal would be pretty much to sum up a large part of my life. Yeah, it is kind of a beautiful thing. Own goals happen all the time in soccer. But there's something special about an own goal that happens with literally the entire planet watching. Like, that feels – I think own goals in the World Cup should maybe count as minus two goals.
Of course I wish – that all goals could be beautiful, shots from distance, bicycle kicks in front of the goal, whatever. But the own goal is something that makes soccer intriguing. It's a very quirky game, and it also reminds me of what my kids' coaches used to say when they were playing soccer as children. He would say, kick the ball into the middle in front of the goal. All kinds of good things can happen. And he was right, no question about it. Charlotte, you can wrap this up for us, maybe.
Yeah, I think that it's also tragic, but maybe that's part of what I love about it. I think that someone once told me if I had a memoir, it would be titled, I Did This to Myself, The Charlotte Wilder Story. So, maybe I'm just, it really resonates with me on a personal level. But, I think that the further along you get, the less beautiful it becomes because it's just so heartbreaking. But in the early stages, I do think there's something we can appreciate about a good old-fashioned own goal.
Will, your turn.
So this week, ESPN the magazine came out with this annual body issue. It's actually a wonderful essay by Roxane Gay starting off. And basically, for those of you who don't remember, the body issue is basically great athletes from across the sports spectrum naked. They're totally nude. Athletes basically doing what we have been doing on weekly public radio sports shows for decades now, or at least Bill has.
Oh, secret's out. They're on to me.
I know you were waiting for your last show to say this, Bill, but I kind of scooped everyone. But I actually kind of love the body issue for a couple of reasons. One, all of a sudden, people that won't give an interview all year are like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll be totally nude for you. And the reason for that is because every single moment that athletes are not playing, they are lifting weights, they are working out, they are pushing their body to the absolute extreme. This is an opportunity for them to actually show it off. It's better than, I will step carefully here because both Charlotte and I do work for Sports Illustrated, and I love Sports Illustrated and love the work that they do. But if you're going to put the body issue against the swimsuit issue, I think it's hard to argue how much more positive the body issue is. There are men athletes, there are women athletes, there are big athletes, there are little athletes. There are from every single sport. So I love the body issue.
It really does lay bare, as it were, the work that these people put in to be on the field, to be on the court, to be doing what you do day after day, and putting your body through an incredible amount of stress to entertain people, essentially, and to sort of live and die and have your career depend solely on your physical capabilities is staggering to me, and something that I think in the churn of the drama of sports, of the gossip, of the analysis, sometimes does get lost. And I think that this issue is really cool because you see it, it's all there. And I always just marvel at it, and it makes me appreciate what these people are capable of. And I also just like seeing who they choose. It's kind of fun to click through and be like, ooh, this person. Or like, I liked that they had Jesse Diggins, for example, a cross-country skier, which is a sport that, barely gets covered except during the Olympics. And even then, not that much. So it kind of gives visibility to other sports, too, that might not get as much mainstream coverage.
I think what I'm going to do is limit my comments to a question. Is there an athlete for this issue that you wish somebody had chosen or that you wish somebody had left out?
I feel bad. We've not been able to get my personal schedule together with the ESPN photographers, but eventually.
You're an athlete, Will?
Let's go with sure. Yes, let's go with sure. So, but yeah, I for me, the fun of the issue is that you never know what kind of athlete you're going to get. But what the one thing that all the athletes have in common is the pride of what they're doing. And I think it's the exciting thing to see. I do feel bad that I scooped your big revelation in the last show. The fact that you've been doing the show nude since you started, that was not my story to tell. That was your story.
Yeah. Well, if that were true, how long do you think we could have held on to a technical director?
I think, Bill, you're the only one that can answer that question.
Yeah, well, all I can tell you is I just cracked up the technical director. So, make of that what you like, radio audience. My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been MLB national correspondent Will Leach and Sports Illustrated's Charlotte Wilder. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you, as always, sir.
Always a pleasure, Bill.
You're listening to Only a Game from NPR.